Preston and Steve Fun Size.
The next guest is back in Philly to appear at Helium Comedy Club. He's got a show tonight and then two Friday and Saturday. And if you, well, you've seen him in tons of movies. And if you watch the show Atypical on Netflix.
Yeah.
Please welcome Mr. Michael Rappaport to the program.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Good to see you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Wonderful.
Excited to be back in Philadelphia.
Excellent.
And I saw you do the Rocky Steps.
Did the Rocky run. I had to do it. Yeah. You know, I've been here a few times, but I never got to properly do the steps. And I got to be honest, it really got in my soul.
Did
I
got
to be totally honest. You know, I've loved that movie. That's my introduction to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure a lot of people that are from here. And you know, I saw that movie when I was 6 years old. And, you know, it was the right time to do that. And I literally...
It's sort of in the dark. You go running. You did the full run. You did a good clip. And you get to the top. When we watch the movie, and it's funny now, at the original Rocky, and he turns around, the skyline looks completely different.
Yeah.
There's a lot more buildings. But for us, like when we had, you know, Carl Weathers in the studio and stuff like that. And, I mean, for God's sakes, it's such a great movie.
The crazy thing is when you run up the steps, you don't look weird. You don't, you know, because it's done several times a day, every single day. You kind of blend in. I think you look different and weird if you...
Just walk.
If you just walk up the steps,
you gotta
like
run
a normal
up
human being.
Yeah. You gotta run up.
I think you have a few feelings when you're doing it too, because you have the excitement initially when you're at the bottom of the steps and you're looking up, and then you start running and you realize it's higher up than I expected.
More steps than it looks steps. Like in the movie.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said I could understand why the first time he tried to run up them, he didn't make it. He didn't know.
Right.
He underestimated the amount of steps, and then of course he tried it again, which is the kind of the theme of Rocky.
Exactly. You get to the top, and there's this triumphant feeling, and it does get inside you a little bit.
Yes. So it was cool, and it was, you know, getting me ready for my shows at the Helium Comedy Club, and I feel I'm ready to rock.
The steps are kind of strangely spaced, though. I don't know if you guys
they're designed to F you up when you run up.
They have the little platforms. It's like when I go to a Phillies game, I go to the ballpark, Citizens Bank Park, and any ballpark like that. When you're walking down the steps to get to your seats, you have to decide, am I going to take one gigantic step?
Yes.
Or am I going to take two little bitty steps on the way down?
You don't want to fall going up the steps. You certainly don't want to run up the rocky steps and trip.
Yes, because you look like a dick.
Yeah, that will look good.
The comedy thing.
Yep.
So this is, you know, and obviously I've loved your film work and all throughout. There's so many movies. You've been to so many movies and shows that we all love. But I didn't realize you actually do have origins in comedy, stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
In fact, when your mother, who is a broadcaster, radio personality in New York, when she got divorced and remarried, she remarried co-owner. Is this true?
Nah, that's like Wikipedia gets things confused.
Because I got this from another thing.
Yeah. I used to hang around the improv comedy club with my sister, my half-sister's mom. It's a whole family thing. But I would go around the comedy clubs when I was a kid. And at that time, I was only focused on being an NBA basketball player. But it definitely, you know, later on, that and the fact that I adored Eddie Murphy so much, you know, was what started me as a stand-up, which eventually got me into acting.
But it's in there. So stand-up was in there in the main thing, and then acting took over?
Stand-up was what I wanted, what I thought I wanted to do. But as soon as I started acting when I was 19, 20, like, I was like, this is what I'm comfortable doing.
You know, the longstanding sort of general accepted aspect of acting in comedy is that people who are really good at comedy, like, you know, like, can become really good actors. It's a lot harder to go the other way.
Yeah.
So I think and that's why you've been such, I think, a really effective actor. You sort of have to have an understanding of ways to get emotions out of people. Would that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think they're both forms of performing. You know, I think being a comedian, you know, I think you're either funny or not funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just either something you have or you don't have. And, you know, fortunately, I think I know how to entertain. I'm definitely disruptive, and I'm definitely a trash talker. And that's the, you know, what I'll be bringing to Helium this weekend. But, you know, I'm comfortable with both. And, you know, I enjoy doing both, and I'm really excited and happy about, you know, starting to do stand-up in the last year. And obviously, I'm excited to perform in front of the rowdy, good crowd of Philadelphia.
You're a funny guy, though. I mean, you talk about the court that you legitimately are a funny guy. And so I think, you know.
Funny how?
How do I make you laugh?
Yeah. Right, use you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I think it's kind of a shame that you've had success in acting and in comedy, because I think right now you probably could play in the NBA for the Knicks.
I wouldn't say that's far-fetched. I'm not saying I should be a starter, but the Knicks at this point.
Yeah.
Off the bench.
You could be like the fourth or fifth off the bench, no doubt.
And I would have no problem
disavow
doing
the team,
that,
right?
But I'm done with the Knicks.
Yeah.
I'm officially no,
what?
I will not support. I'm not. I'm done.
But that's like the Pope. The Pope would say, I'm done with, because, I mean, you are.
No, I'm done with the Knicks.
Really?
I will not support this team until James Dolan is the owner.
Is it the 18 years of rebuild?
It's all of it.
Okay.
It's. I mean, listen, we have an owner who's in a blues band. Think about that. He's a singer in a blues band. Okay. Think about how ridiculous that sounds. it's like something out of like a bad, you know, comedy. Yeah. The owner of the Knicks team is also a touring blues, like he's a beat. Look at this guy. I mean, James Dolan is in a blues band. I don't support the Knicks anymore. Oh, I'm tired of the rebuilding.
Do you support anybody?
I'm a free agent.
You're a free agent?
I'm the Kawhi Leonard of fans.
Okay.
Well,
I've always been a Sixers fan. Yeah. From the Doc, Andrew, Tony, World Be Free, George McGinnis, Daryl Dawkins, Bobby Jones, Billy Cunningham days, to obviously the Moses and Doc when they put it all together, to the AI. I've always loved Philly. I'm willing to, you know, listen. I'm willing to listen because I'm finished with the Knicks. Well, I'm serious.
Have they made you an offer yet?
No, they haven't made me an offer. I just went on the free agent fan market. But
we'll give you a one-year contract.
Maybe we can sign you.
Yeah, I'm a good fan. Yeah,
Jesus, you'd be an awesome fan.
I know. So I'm be honest, I'm not going to be an Eagles fan. That's a whole other conversation.
We understand. Yeah.
But with the Knicks, I'm done supporting that team.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Now, I know. I sense the passion. You talk about your ability, and you basically, you are a master of trash talking. And
yes.
I see you pop up on different sports things,
yes,
and so on and so forth. And you are really good at it. There's a fine line. What do people get right about trash talking, and what do people get wrong about trash talking?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, you know, being mean-spirited is not necessarily trash talk.
Yeah,
you know, for
I
me,
agree.
It's got to be within the realm of ball breaking. I hope I could say that on the radio.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And
a little absurd.
A little absurd.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to be a trash talker, you must start with yourself.
Yeah.
So I always poke fun at myself first to establish it. Sometimes that gets missed, but I think there's a difference between being mean and,
right,
and breaking chops.
Right.
And I'm
I agree.
Definitely a chop breaker.
Yeah.
I try not to be mean. I mean, I think it's a fine line. Sometimes you could step over it, and I'm cool with that. And, you know, I feel like if you're going to play this game, you know, you should also be all, you could apologize. Like, you know, you don't want to spit in faces. You want to step on toes sometimes, but spitting in faces is not what I'm into.
That's a good phrase.
I think a well-informed fan is the best way to go. And we had, I can't remember what the comedian's name was, but he lives in Minnesota, and he says, he brings his son to games, but there's the rule is no cursing,
uh-huh,
right? But do your research, and he does, and he'll, you know, before he goes to a game, whether it's, you know, yeah, baseball or basketball or whatever, he'll do the research on the opposing team.
Oh, players. Oh, yeah,
trash,
yeah, yeah.
Trash talk. Trash,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
With knowledge.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good too. Well, yeah. if you have a clip of Arsenal loaded up, it's even better.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I think the last time we had you in here was you were promoting the Tribe Called Quest documentary.
No, yes. There was another time.
He came in another time after.
Yeah, but that was the first time I was up here, and I remember we had a really good conversation about that, and that was a pleasure to do that film.
I got to see it since then, and I, as I told you, I thought it was really, really well done.
Thank
Any
you.
Plans for more directing like that?
I would love to do another film. I would love to do it. Yeah, I mean, the only group right now that I would love to do a documentary about is actually the Roots. You know, obviously they're Philly. I think their story should be told. You know, they're so prolific, and from where they came from, their influence, and then to the Fallon Show, and you know, the fact that they're like a touring they're almost like the Grateful Dead of hip hop. Like, they continue to tour.
They're unbelievable.
They just keep going. And I've always been a big fan of theirs and their story.
Preston had a quasi drum off with Questlove here in the studio.
Yeah, I play. So we set up two drum kits in here and we jammed.
It was cool.
Great. Yeah, he's a good guy, man.
Yeah, he's a really, really good guy. I mean, obviously he's a sick drummer.
I have a number of people texting in, and we were definitely planning on getting to this, but the videos you make are great.
most recently, the one that exploded is this moose fight video.
So crazy.
It's a scream.
I know.
Yes, you do know.
No, it's crazy because you do these videos, and it took me 30 seconds to do that video, literally. And you never know. I do videos all the time, and it's usually when I'm walking my dog.
Yeah.
And I put them up, and you never know. I just put them up, and this thing's like a worldwide.
Yeah. I'm going to play the audio for those people who may not have seen it yet. It's these two moose fighting in a suburban area, and there's two male moose. They're locked their antlers, and they're going at it. But what Steve and I are amazed at is that the audio, if you've captured, it sounds like you're right there, man. Well, like you're standing next to these moose.
I feel like an idiot because when I first heard the audio.
You thought it was real?
I thought it was legit because he's asking
I did as well. It was Nick that pointed it out because I'd seen the cat. You know, you do a couple of videos like this, and then I go, like, of course that's now I recognize the voice because I was laughing my ass off. Yeah. But you nailed it.
So let me play this. These two moose are fighting, and it's Michael doing the commentary as if he's standing there watching it. Here we go.
Holy Ma, come outside! There's a moose or a buffalo or some they're fighting. Where the are you going? Ma! Holy this is some National Geographic Ma, call a cop to the ASPCA! There's animals fighting in the front lawn! Oh,
so funny.
Oh, my God. So that one got
That's
me.
That's great.
And then I've been watching the ugly cat videos for a while.
Yeah.
And you sort of now have a bit of a relationship with that ugly cat. Is that right?
I haven't met the cat. The cat's name is Wilfred Warrior. He's in London.
Okay.
But
it almost
has like
a thyroid thing. Where
he's got something. He's got bad eyes and caca, bad teeth. But a very sweet cat. But same thing. I did the video, and they take a life of its own. But you know, he's a cute cat, and the owners get a kick out of it.
Right. So they tweet out these or put on Instagram these videos of this cat, and then it's just hilarious to me that that's the best of what the Instagram can do. What social media can be.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just fun.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I never know how it's going to be perceived or taken. But sometimes these videos, they'll just go into like super viral mode, and it's
so hilarious though, Michael. When they say, and we talked about it earlier, like, hey, maybe we can do something. We've had people come in who are supposed. We're going to hear from some experts on how to get viral traction. No one knows how to do that. It either happens or it doesn't. You can take your best swing, but you know, and your stuff caught on. You know,
yeah, it's funny. It's like a whole other thing that some people know me for, and it's just it's funny to me. I enjoy it.
So you've been doing the stand up. Who comes? Describe the audience that comes to see you. I mean, what are they mostly fans of? Because you know, the stand up is a newer aspect of you.
Yeah, they're all over the board. You know, some fans love me from sports stuff.
Yeah.
Some fans have just seen me as an actor for years.
And you're on Howard a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm on the Stern Show. Yeah. And there's always a handful of Real Housewives fans because I love the Real Housewives, and they I have a I'm in that world because I love those shows so much. You're looking at me pissing, like love.
Dude.
Love.
Oh my God.
Adore.
What is it about it?
To me, it's like soap operas. Like, I just love it. I think it's the most entertaining television we have. You know, and I love reality TV at all, but across the board. But I don't know why we haven't made The Real Housewives of Philadelphia yet.
So it's in the works.
It's in the works.
Oh,
yeah.
There's
really?
A girl. Yeah, there's a PR rep that brings some of our guests in, and she's selling it. And apparently, a network is now involved with it. But they shot like a sizzle reel or, you know, a pilot for it. And it's not Philly, but it's the main line.
Have you ever done the Andy Cohen?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the real. Watch What Happens Live. I'm all, that's why when you say people come, because
they
know me from that. Because I to me, it's like it's almost like sports for women. but at the end of the day, it's like they're like soap operas.
Yeah.
They're like soap operas. And I just find them very entertaining. I don't judge them. I love the shows.
I have no
people belittle them. I think it's dope.
Listen, I am a huge fan of Hallmark Christmas movies. Everything in my DNA says I should think they're crap, and I adore them. I don't. I know they stink, and yet I love them.
You see, you'll even say you know they stink. I don't think the Housewives stink. Like I'm like a real fan.
I watched I watched the Jersey one. That's when
that was the first one, right?
No, I don't think that was the first one.
Orange County.
Yeah, but I watched that. My wife started watching it, and then you know a lot of times what your spouse watches, you end up watching, and I got into it. Like I definitely had my favorites and least favorites, and I enjoyed it, and we watched it every week for a while there. I don't even know if that particular one's still on.
Oh, it's still on. I was watching it last night, Casey. Okay. Yeah, I saw it last night.
All right, wow. So if you're just tuning in, it's Michael Rappaport who's here, and he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and through the weekend. So I have a question. So you love these shows. Do you like the people?
I don't judge them. I look at them like characters, but their pain is my pleasure. So I don't want the housewives all buttoned up, and I want them nutty, yeah. But I'm nutty. Yeah. I'm not trying to be anything, you know. Like I'm whacked out of my tree also, so I have no problem with it. Like I really like. I'm a fan. Like I truly. That's like what I watch. It's sports. And Housewives, and then there's other various shows and films and streaming and stuff like that I do. But it's sports and Housewives definitely top.
So who would you fanboy out over the most from the Real Housewives shows?
Probably the great and recently retired, hailing from New York, the great Bethany Frankel, who I consider the Michael Jordan of Housewives. Wow. But there's a bunch of them. Every time I've met them, I'm excited to meet them.
Who pisses you off the most? It's got to be a villain. Who's your villain?
Probably Kenya Moore from Atlanta. She's the one that drives me the craziest.
You know your stuff, man.
You know
yeah.
All of them.
Oh, no, I deep dive in it. Like, I can talk, like, I deep dive. I'm all in. So definitely Housewives fans show up to my shows. And like I said, I do some stuff on reality TV because I'm very passionate about it.
I love it. God. I love that.
Okay, so given your choice, you are able to go to the NBA championship final, seventh game man. That night, or an all-star reunion live event of the
now Housewives. Come on now.
I know. It's like picking your favorite child.
No, it is. No. Without a doubt. Game seven, period. Right. But I would consider if I could try to squeeze in both. Like I would be like, is there an Uber, a train? Like if I sprint, can I get to both? But it would definitely be an NBA game or an NFL game or even a prize fight. But it would after sports, it would be.
You know what we've been seeing on Instagram these Frank Grillo and Brian Callen and Stallone throws these boxing parties. You worked with Stallone and Copland.
Yes,
you got to get invited. Have you seen these parties?
Yes, I've seen those parties, and I'm good. You know, I had my moments and time working with Stallone on Copland were so perfect for what they were supposed to be. I you know, like for me, the people that are like that mean that much to me, I don't want to be friends with them. I kind of like to keep it at a distance. You know, he was so generous with all my Rocky questions and all my Rocky trivia. And, you know, we did lines from every single Rocky film. I would do Rocky lines and he would do Adrian lines. Like, so I had my time with him. And, you know, if I got invited, of course I would go. But, like, you know, like there's certain people that like I just like to keep like.
I hear you.
You know, I like the message and not so much knowing. You know, much more about them.
Like
so
I know you want to keep them a little bit on the perch. And I understand that. Yeah. You know, because they mean so much to you. We had Frank Stallone in here, and he's a character too, man. Yeah. A lot of stories. But
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure with Frank. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen the pictures of that. And I know some of those guys. So I'm sure it would be fun. But I'm cool with, you know, just having my fandom.
I got you.
I'm going to bring up Atypical. It's on the third season. I've watched the first two. I'm in the middle of the third season. Mm. And I didn't know Bridget Lundy Payne.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
She's really funny.
I didn't know her before this.
This is kind of her big thing. Yeah. The girl who plays my daughter. She's great on the show. Both those kids are excellent.
It's a series about the kid on the spectrum.
Yeah,
correct?
The kid on the spectrum, right. and you know, the family is sort of a dysfunctional family who's figuring out. Yeah, I mean, like every family is dysfunctional, right. And we're figuring out, and he's figuring out how to, you know, navigate through life. And we are, as parents with a son with autism. And
people love this show.
It's a good show. Yeah. It really is a genuine show. It resonates with people in an emotional way, and I'm very proud of Atypical.
Yeah, so. It's real. I love it. Thank you. So with Netflix, do you just bang it out? You film the whole season, and then that's that?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we film the season. And this season, season three, 10 episodes. And you know, you knock it out, and hopefully we'll be back for season four. I think the show deserves it. The response has been great, and it's gotten bigger and bigger every year, which is not always the case.
And I love the humor in it.
I appreciate that. I'm very proud of the show, so I appreciate
that. That's cool, because she's been talking about it. I'm like, maybe I should start. I mean, I've watched virtually everything else you've ever been in, but I've been hearing accolades for this. Doing the whole thing with Netflix, and you have movies now that are, you know, that like, did you see The Irishman?
Saw The Irishman.
Right, so like a week in the theater and then right to Netflix and Amazon Prime, and all these things are generating great content. Are these the best of days for the actor part of you?
I mean, I think it's crazy because television is where it's at. You know, yeah. I mean, the movies are not what they used to be. Obviously, you know, there's always, you know, some that pop up. But I think the best content and the best opportunities across the board are on television.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. I'm fortunate, you know, that I've been on this show and you know, continue to work. And you know, whatever forum it is for me as an actor, I'm happy to do it. I've been able to do so many good different things throughout the year, so I'm just cool.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be rocking and rolling.
It's funny who finds you and where your audience learns about you in the first place, because you know, Friends is also on Netflix.
Yeah,
you know? And I referenced you earlier this morning because we were talking about Phoebe and how her plot line ended, and you know, you had a 4 or 5 episode run on Friends, but people will discover that now that didn't watch it the first time around, or rediscover it, you know, nearly 20 years later.
It's great. Like, Friends is kind of like the modern day Brady Bunch. You know, like, we watched Brady Bunch all the time. The episodes would come on.
Yep.
You'd have your favorite episodes, favorite scenes, these iconic things, and Friends is kind of that. It's timeless, and, you know, it finds new fans, and you know, and it's on regular television, and it's on streaming services.
It's on
and,
all the freaking
yeah.
time.
And it's, yeah, it's all over the place. It's worldwide, and, you know, it's like a time capsule.
How many takes did it take for you to shoot that bird?
Oh, it's probably like two or three takes.
Okay.
And I wish I hadn't, because I feel like, you know, me and Phoebe could have done great things together. me and Lisa Kudrow could have continued on as lovers.
You've been sort of like the pinch hitter on a number of shows where you've come in multiple seasons, like Prison Break.
Yep, that was a good show.
Justified.
Yep.
Yeah, so you come in and you always do good stuff, and you always give an extra charge to a show that's, you know, kind of looking for another kick up.
Yep.
Do you like being that guy who comes in and joins a cast, or is it a little bit of a pain in the ass to come into a clique?
Nah, they're, you know, for the most part, you know, like the guys on Justified were great, very supportive. You know, I don't look at it that way. You know, as an actor, you know, you go where the work is. You try to do the best you can. You try to do the best of. You never know what's gonna hit, what's not gonna hit.
Right.
And you just keep, you know, you keep swinging. You keep rocking and rolling. And I love acting. It's always gonna be my first love. I love stand up. You know, and that's why I'm excited to perform here at Helium in Philadelphia. And I just love performing. That's like That's like what I get off on. That and running up the rocky steps.
Running and making moose videos.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did notice, and I forgot about this. You did a series. It was a sitcom called The War at Home.
Yep.
And Rami Malek was in that
That's
show.
That's right.
Right.
I put the battery in his back, and who would have thought? Now he's an Academy Award winner.
What was he like on that show?
You knew he was talented.
Yeah.
I mean, you never could predict this kind of breakthrough thing, but he definitely, you know, I remember he was, you know, I was aware he was, you know, a talent.
He played your son's friend who was gay and couldn't tell him that he was in love with your son.
Yes. Yeah. But like, you know, like I was, you know, we got along good, and I, you know, like I said, I knew he was a good actor.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever appeared on any episodes of any of the 3 million Law & Order shows?
I did SVU.
Did you?
One episode, yes, yes. I did SVU a couple of years ago, and that was cool.
Were you guilty?
I was guilty.
With an explanation.
I had an explanation. I was reformed guilt.
All right.
But it was cool doing the show. It's kind of like a rite of passage.
What was the first thing you did? Because the first thing I remember seeing you in was True Romance.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first big thing. I did a film, an independent film before that kind of got me going, called Zebrahead, that I starred in, that Oliver Stone produced, which was a very good film, and got, you know, won the Sundance Film Festival. And then I was, you know, off to the races. And True Romance was definitely an important film. And I love that film.
You've been in so much, so many different things, working with different people. And it's funny, you know, from that, from Tarantino, and you've done Woody Allen stuff as
yep,
well.
Yep, yep.
So besides all the stuff that's associated with him, you know, what's it like working with Woody Allen?
He's a great director. You know, he's very hands-off. He lets you do his thing.
Do you prefer that? Or do you like a happy medium where you get the guidance, but they let you have your space? Or do you prefer somebody just say, I know you're a professional actor. You've been working at this. Do what you do.
I like whatever gets it done.
Okay.
You know, I don't like to be micromanaged if you don't need it. Sometimes you do need you know, more insight into what's going on. I think that, you know, everybody's got to have respect for everybody. And, you know, when you're on a film and television set, everybody's there. Everybody's a pro, you know, the sound people, the wardrobe people, the hair makeup people. And I think the best way to do it is empower them from an artistic place and sort of like that brings out the best in them because everybody, you know, started in that for that reason.
I know what you've got to be on sometime is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You'd I would love to be on that show. That show. I love that show. Yeah. I would love that show.
Oh, they're right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I love that show. So
we've actually been on a couple times.
Have you guys been on it?
I think it's mandated.
Cool.
We're in Philadelphia.
I got to be on there.
Yeah. You ever encountered those guys, Rob or Charlie?
I know Charlie a little bit. I've met him, but I haven't worked with them. But, you know, I'm aware of them, and obviously I'm a fan of the show.
I wanted to ask you, because I think it's the last time you were here, we talked about the Natasha Lyonne thing where she was evicted. You had to get her evicted from a property. And now she got, I guess her life is back on track. She does the show Russian Doll.
Yep.
She's doing everything. What happened there? How did that turn around?
I mean, she turned around. You know, we've been friends for a long time. We're still friends. I love her. I'm very happy that she's you know, back and doing great things. You know, she just I think
it was
I
a bad period, right?
Yeah. She had a tough time, but you know, she's a miracle, and you know, she pulled it together, and it's been, you know, a while, and you know, now she's, you know, kicking butt. So it's good for her.
Yeah. Well, listen, dude, we got to wrap it up. We're really glad you came back, that you're back in Philadelphia. You ran the Rocky steps.
Yep.
Properly prepared.
He's
for
legit.
The show tonight.
Yep. Ready to join the Sixers.
Yep.
There's an 8 o'clock show tonight at Helium, and then Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10. You can go to heliumcomedy.com, and I'll bet you those tickets are going to sell out, so get them while you can.
Dude, one of the Saturdays is already sold out.
Oh, really?
I believe the 7:30 Saturday show is already sold out.
So jump on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, keep kicking ass, man. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me back, you guys.
Michael Rappaport.
Support, guys. I appreciate it.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.